Right, morning everyone.
Morning.
Cool. Okay, well, traditionally, you stuck that there. Traditionally, this is the first Sunday in Lent. When I wrote it down, I wrote the first Sunday in Advent, but that's because I like Christmas. But yeah, it's the first Sunday in Lent, or as we prefer to refer to it in this church, it's the run-up to Easter, okay? And at this time, some people, they give up something for Lent. But they do it not in order to, you know, kind of lose weight or something like that. They do it to concentrate more on Jesus, okay? Jesus is here now. Where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, I'm there in the midst. He's here. Jesus is in this house right now, speaking to you by your side, with you right now. And the idea in Lent, of course, is that you concentrate more on him. You think much more about him, so that when Jamie goes for his jar of caviar that he's given up for Lent, when he goes to get it, he thinks, oh no, I mustn't have it. I mustn't have that caviar. Why mustn't I have it? Because I want to think more about Jesus, what he's done for me, what he's doing for me, who he is. And we spoke a little while ago, I spoke, and Jamie referred to it again last week, about the disciples being close to Jesus, walking with him, being with him all the time. And that's what we need to do, because if we're close to Jesus, we let the extraordinary come into the everyday. And that's what I want. I want the extraordinary in my life, the extraordinariness of having the supernatural power of Jesus in my life. And it's on offer to every single person here. This is not something that sticks in church. And that's why I've got this called Jesus in the House. Jesus with us all the time, walking with Jesus. Those disciples, they sat down and they ate with Jesus. They chatted with Jesus. They experienced the weather with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They moaned with Jesus. Oh, you know, it's dusty, hot, sweaty, walking in hot temperatures. People all shoving around them when there are big crowds. They all shared everything together. It was all shared. And that's what Jesus wants to do with every single person here, to share it. And to do that, we need to just get closer and closer to Jesus. We want to walk with him all the time. And the disciples, as I said, did that. But I'm going to concentrate on one of the disciples this morning, Peter. Now, it's not about Peter, it's about Jesus. It's about Peter's experience of Jesus. When Jamie said to me, in our leaders meeting, he said, let's do stuff about the life of Jesus, different things that happened as we lead up to Easter, when we talk about the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection and all of that. And so I prayed about this and I thought, oh, there are so many amazing things that happen in the life of Jesus. Terrific, enormous things where he did fantastic miracles. He did incredible sermons. Oh, he raised people from the dead. He did amazing things. And I prayed, God, what do you want me to talk about? And he was so clear on what he wants me to talk about this morning, the little bit of story that I've got. And I thought at first, what? What's that? That is so small. It doesn't even have a proper ending, as you will find out. You see, Peter saw everything that Jesus was doing. He was there at the beginning, listening to his teaching. And then, just before he started following him, Jesus got him to go fishing after a night where he had caught nothing. And they caught a massive fish, so many fish, that the net was breaking. And then Peter heard more teaching. And then Peter saw Jesus feeding 5,000 men and their children and women as well. And then in between Jesus feeding another 4,000 people, Jesus comes walking on water, and Peter says, Lord, I'm going to come to you. And Peter gets out the boat, and bless him, he walks a few steps, and then his faith just begins to go. Hey, I'm not criticizing, because I don't know whether I'd have got out the boat in the first place. Yeah? Amazing. But he experienced that. He's seen Jesus doing that. And then he confesses, having seen all this, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, which Richard, without me even prompting at all, read out this morning. Because I think Jesus just wants us to think this morning, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? Do you want to be with me like Peter was with me? Walk with me the way Peter walked with me. Realize who I am the way Peter realized who I am. Because that's what he wants for you this morning and every day of your life. That's what he's after. And so Peter says that, you're the Messiah. But he doesn't quite get it. Because the next thing Jesus says is this. He says, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to go to Jerusalem. And when I get there, they're going to take me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten up. I'm going to be killed. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. Peter didn't hear that bit, I don't think. Or at least he didn't register. All that registered for Peter was, what? I've seen all the stuff you've done. You're the Messiah. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't die on a cross. For a Jew, that's the worst thing going. That's like being cursed. That's awful. Peter didn't quite get it. And so Jesus had to turn around to him and say, get behind me, Satan. This is a temptation that doesn't come from, this isn't you speaking, Peter. This is a temptation that comes from the devil to try and stop me going where I'm going, because I am going to Jerusalem to do what my Father wants me to do. That's our Jesus. And Jesus, I find this incredible. Peter's just done that. And then the next thing that happens is this, that Jesus says, okay, Peter, James, John, I imagine Peter's thinking, hey, me? Yeah, come on, Peter. We're going up this mountain. And they go up the mountain, and on the top of the mountain, Jesus is transfigured. You see, although Peter has kind of fluffed his lines a bit, Jesus is still with him. Jesus still loves him. Do you fluff your lines sometimes? Do you mess up? Yeah? Jesus loves you. He's got so many chances for you, you won't believe it. In fact, he goes on and on and on and on. So he doesn't just forgive Peter for what he said. He takes him up the mountain and he watches him being transfigured, glowing like nobody's business. I can't imagine what it would have been like. And there's Elijah and there's Moses talking with Jesus. And Peter, sure, being Peter, he thinks this is the ultimate. This is what a Messiah does. Hey, Jesus, I can build you a shelter, okay? One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. I mean, I think he was cracking up, but I would have. Just amazing. I want to stay up here. But that's not what happens. Because God says, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. That's what we've got to do. It's not just about being up on the mountain, having a great time. Sometimes we have great times of praise, don't we? Sometimes we might go to a conference or to an amazing meeting, or you'll get a really incredible speaker come along and you'll think, wow, that is amazing. But do you know what? The main thing is that you listen to Jesus, because then you've got to go down the mountain. And when they go down the mountain, like we all have to after times like that, They go down the mountain, and there's a boy who is having demonic fits. He's being thrown into the fire. All sorts of things are happening. And the other disciples who haven't gone up with Jesus, they are saying, we can't do anything about this. We've tried and tried and tried. We can't do anything. And Jesus said, so little faith, I'll sort it. And he comes and he delivers that boy. Oh, so Peter has seen all of this stuff. He's been up the mountain, he's been down the mountain, he's seen Jesus confronting this stuff at the bottom of the mountain. And then this happens. It goes kind of quiet. It goes quiet. And Jamie, this morning, you were talking about that quiet meeting with Jesus. That quiet meeting with Jesus in your own heart, where you meet Jesus, where you live with Jesus. Because this isn't about me talking to you. This is about God speaking to you. This is my son. Listen to him. He's got stuff to say to each one of you in your hearts. Each one of you. And this is the passage that God gave me next. So I didn't get any of that 5,000 stuff or, you know, people being raised from the dead like the widow of Nain and all the rest, all those sort of things. This is what I got. So would you put up my passage? That's it. So after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yeah, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. That's a shekel. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. I don't know why God wants me to say this particular passage, but it means something for either all of you or one of you particularly. Or he wouldn't be asking me to say it. They come to Capernaum. This is where Jesus has a kind of base in Capernaum. He kind of rests out there. He doesn't go back to Nazareth much anymore because the people in Nazareth have been giving him a really, really rough time. And so he goes to Capernaum quite a lot, and he's gone in the house. He's gone in the house. And Capernaum is a very ordinary place. It's a very ordinary place. There's about 1,500 people, they reckon, at most, living in Capernaum. There are more children in Greenshaw High School than that, okay? So Greenshaw High School has more kids in it than people living in Capernaum. It's a kind of small place. It's not even a place that's done very well by Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, I've done all these miracles and things in you and you still don't believe. It'd be better off for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. Basically, he's saying if you don't do something about this. So this is Capernaum. It's not much of a place. And we're here, Sutton, St. Helier. And Jesus can be in the house. Jesus can be here. Jesus is here. No place is too low for Jesus. No place is too small for Jesus. Nothing is too small for Jesus. He's in Capernaum. And what's this about? It's about taxes. Taxes, okay? Something that I'm sure Richard would know a bit about. A bit, that's right. But I love this because this is the only gospel, Matthew's is the only gospel that this is in. this particular story. And Matthew was a tax collector. And he would have heard this from Peter. I sort of imagine, I can imagine Peter saying, hey Matt, come over here. You'll like this. This is cool. You know, you've been a tax collector, and I've got a great story for you. You'll really enjoy this. You can put this in the book, okay? And he does. Because it is a great story. And Matthew probably thought, yeah, this is neat. I'm going to do this. But it's quite a small story, isn't it? Because it's just about paying tax. And of course, these guys come up and they say to Peter, Peter, does your master pay the taxes? Did he pay the temple tax? Now, it's different from the taxes of the Romans. It's not a legal tax. You don't have to pay it. But it's just traditionally something that Jews had done ever since the time of Moses. And so they said, well, you know, does your master pay this tax? And Peter does a Peter. Peter says, yeah, he does it. Thinking in his head after he's mouthed off, does he? I don't know. Because, you know, sometimes we tell Jesus what to do. Sometimes we decide what we should be doing. You know, we like our own way. And Peter says things, blurts it out. Yeah, of course he pays the tax. And then he goes in. He goes in the house because Jesus is in the house. Jesus has gone in a house in Capernaum. And God really wants me to say this because it sounds such a small kind of thing. Would you just put, I think I might have woken Sharon up there. Would you just put that back up, Sharon? Cool. It sounds crazy because I didn't think this was going to be the big deal message because it's not like huge, is it? Jesus in the house. Is Jesus in your house? I can't believe I'm even saying this sort of thing. Is Jesus in your house? There used to be a kind of saying, what was it? The unseen guest at every meal, Jesus. The unseen guest at every meal, Jesus being at the table with you while you're eating. Is Jesus in your house? Does he live in your house with you? Shouldn't he? Jesus in the house. It's such a small kind of thing, idea. I don't know. But I just felt God this morning saying, I want you to say to those people, does Jesus live in your hearts? Does Jesus live in your house? Yeah, all of you. This isn't some deep supernatural spiritual idea in a sense. This is just simple. Does Jesus live with you every moment of every day in your house? Is he with you in all the things that you do? Is he your guide? Is he your master? Peter goes in the house to see Jesus. When he goes in, Jesus answers him first. Jesus speaks to him first. Because Jesus, as on several other occasions, knows exactly what Peter said before Peter's even said it. And he knows what you're thinking. And he knows what's in your heart. And he knows every single one of you. And he loves you and he cares about you. And he says to Peter, look, who's supposed to pay the tax? Is it the king and his, you know, if it's the king's sons, if it's the king's tax, do his children have to pay it, do you think? Or is it the others? Is it the people who pay the taxes? So Peter says, well, it's the people. No, the sons wouldn't pay the taxes. No, not the king's children. And of course, Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of God. This temple belongs to me, actually. I don't need to pay for this. But, and I absolutely love this, but, And he kind of gets Peter out of it. Do you know, we mess up sometimes and God gets us out of it, doesn't he? I love that. He's got our back. You know, sometimes you do stuff and you could really be landed in it. And Jesus gets us out of it. And so Jesus says, and it's not too, you know, it's a small thing, you know. This amount of money that they're asking is titchy. It's like really small. And Jesus says, look, he says, just let, we don't want to disappoint these people. We don't want to, I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to let them down. This is what you've got to do. Now, what I like about this as well, Jesus says, and his exact words are these, but so that we may not offend them. Now, Jesus doesn't actually care normally about upsetting people. I'm telling you that. He does some things. He doesn't mind about, you know, annoying the Pharisees and annoying the powers that be. It's got nothing to do with that. These two guys are just collecting the temple tax. That's what they do. That's their job. They're going to do it. They asked, does your master pay this? And Jesus just says, you know, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to upset them. He could make a fuss about it. He could say, no, I don't have to pay this. But he doesn't upturn things just for the sake of it. He just cares about people. He loves people. So he's not going to upset them. And he's not going to land Peter in it. And so he's, and it's not too small for him to do as well. And so he does this, and I love this, because there are all sorts of ways that he could have done it, right? He could have just gone, I mean, this is Jesus, he could have just said, okay, go over there and you can get, you know, the shekel to pay for you and me. But no, he doesn't do that. He says this, he says, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Okay, the first thing I want to say is he says, for my tax and yours. I absolutely love that. See, Jesus is with us in everything we do. We're his partners. He says, my tax and yours. Like mates, friends, together. He's with us. We're partners with him. My tax and yours. So you go and do it on behalf of both of us. Do you know, when we go into things, it's both of us, Jesus is saying. This is going to be tough what you're going to do, to go to that person and tell them that. But don't worry, you're not going on your own. Both of us. We're both going. You got this problem? Don't worry, both of us can sort it out. I'm with you. I'm going to go with you to sort this out. I love that. And then there's this. What he's asking Peter to do. And I think this is great because Peter's now got to go out of the house. And this is the unfinished story. All right? Because it doesn't actually tell you what happened. This is one of the few places where you don't get, you know, when the water's turned to wine, okay, the guy says, wow, this is the best wine. You've saved the best till now. This is great. The 5,000 men and the women, they go around picking up 12 baskets afterwards. You know, you see people raised from the dead and everyone thinking, whoa, being amazed. You don't get the end of this. You don't get the end. So it gives a bit of imagination, doesn't it? But imagine this. Because now, where are those two guys who have come? Where are the tax collectors outside? They're just outside, aren't they? They're waiting for Peter to come out with the answer and the money. Okay? So they're out there. Now Peter's got to go out. What's he going to say to them? Hang on, guys. I'm just going to get my fishing rod. What? Yeah. Well, we're not letting you go. But, you know, if you say you're going to pay it, we'll come with you. Sure. Yeah, we'll come. Okay. Imagine him going down to the shore, throwing it in. These guys looking at him. What is he doing? See, Peter's now been asked to do something that is pretty weird, isn't it? Let's be honest. And I partly think that Jesus is saying, right, Peter, I've let you off, but I'm having some fun here. Because Jesus is great, isn't he? He lives life with us and he gets us to do things. But I want to say this to you. All of us have got an unfinished story. All of us have got something amazing that Jesus wants us to do. Are you, yeah? It doesn't matter how old you are, Jesus has got an unfinished story for you. Something incredible for you to do. Something unbelievable. It might be a bit embarrassing at times, but you know, I saw some people dancing yesterday at a party and that was embarrassing. But you know, Jesus has got an unfinished story for each person here. Something for you that you are going to do. And it'll be amazing. It'll be terrific. But you'll need trust. And for trust, you need to know the person that you're trusting. Because Peter had to go out there and he had to do this. He had to throw that line out. Get that fish. Open it. I mean, well, it's nuts, isn't it? And get that and open it and find this coin inside it. He had to trust that this crazy thing would actually come to pass and do. And so he did. And we know he must have done because Jesus asked him to do it. And therefore he would have done it. He wouldn't be here otherwise. But I think it's great. Jesus has got an unfinished story for each one of us. But to get that unfinished story, we have to be there. Peter was there, okay? We have to be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. Get the extraordinary in the everyday. Be with Jesus. Get the unfinished story of your life. Be with Jesus all the time and let Jesus be in your house. Because if you do that, your life will be just incredible, extraordinary, and it'll be supernaturally lived because you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Just think that for a minute. Just quietly think that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit if Jesus is in you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? We're not always totally aware of it, are we? But it's the truth. Jesus in you, Jesus in your house, Jesus in your life. Get that unfinished story. And when you get it, tell me about it. Because I want to be excited by what God's got for each one of you. Father God, help us in these coming days, weeks, to concentrate on Jesus. To remember what a beautiful name he has. What a wonderful name he has. What a powerful name he has. Help us to find our story with Jesus, where we both, Jesus and me, Jesus and each person here, goes out and does stuff for you, Father God. Lord, bless each person here with the knowledge that Jesus is alive, Jesus is in them, Jesus is here. In Jesus' name, amen.